This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I want to dance with somebody.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Step up, son.
You're 2 pounds heavier than when you came to camp, but we can fix that. All we have to do is decrease his food intake and increase his metabolic output. All right, step on the scale, son. Muscle weighs more than fat.
And Brendan Sprague.
7-minute abs, and we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-minute, folk. If you're not happy with the first 7 minutes, we're going to send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Maybe at the end of the show, we'll both take our clothes off, you Armani, and me mine, and we'll just give it to the audience. What do you think?
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday. Got a lot to get to in the second hour. Jerry Dulac is going to join us from Pittsburgh. He's been covering the Pittsburgh Steelers for decades. And we're going to break up the NBA chatter by going to Pittsburgh and saying, what's going on there?
Adam Schefter also did a thing on their wide receivers who have left, and literally every single one over the last however many years in the Tomlin era has gone down in productivity. There's not a single one that, statistically speaking, has gotten better after leaving.
Yeah, that was the problem with that tweet, is he just talked about stats, whereas, like, Smith-Schuster was a huge part of the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl.
He was. He was a big part
of
it.
And Antonio Brown kind of put the Bucs over the top the year he was sane won the Super Bowl.
He also, before that, had gone to Oakland and refused. Remember that whole helmet fiasco air balloon and my feet are burned up? That started there and then ended in Tampa.
Emmanuel Sanders was pretty good. He didn't put him on the list.
I mean, they've been solid. I'm not saying all of them have been terrible, but none of them, from a statistical standpoint, have produced what they did in Pittsburgh.
So we'll talk with Jerry Dulac. Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? Or are they just good with Will Howard? I don't know what they're doing in Pittsburgh, so we'll talk with Jerry Dulac for the Ticker at 7:30. Want to remind you, your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th. Brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident Injury Lawyers. Victor Rico's will be hanging out. Matt's Barbecue will be hanging out. Very excited to have both of them out there for our food. Foursomes can be purchased right now, 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo.
Can't wait, man. It'll be here before we know it.
There's a lot to get to with the Celtics tiers.
There is.
And I don't know which direction to you stands out. Is it 90 total points the Boston Celtics scored in an NBA game? Is it the worst two-game shooting stretch from three-point in league history?
10 of 40. They only missed 30 last night.
Is it Tatum and Brown are now 1 for 12 in two games in clutch time? Is it the fact that home court advantage doesn't matter in the NBA playoffs? I mean, I don't know where you go. Like, get this stat. So, right now, teams are 26 and 24 at home in the playoffs. That's the lowest playoff winning percentage amongst home teams since 1981.
That's a hilarious stat. And I love it because it shows you that there's more parity than maybe we even imagined in the NBA this year. I know OKC did what they did to Denver last night, and I'm sure we'll maybe have a footnote on that at some point. To me, the takeaway is, one, ha-ha, because we all hate Boston, and it's fun to watch their teams lose. And if I see one more Celtics documentary pubbed on my television, I'm going to throw it out of a window.
There's a little bit too much
like,
of that.
Just stop,
now.
Dude. I get it. They're great. They've always been great. Congratulations. I don't need 37 documentaries on the Boston Celtics. Nobody cares. Let's move on.
I haven't watched a second of them.
I haven't watched any of them. Outside of the Magic and Larry one back in the day,
am I going to learn?
Yeah, they were good. Hey, they were really bad to Bill Russell. Cool. That's a great history, Boston. No, I think the story is just simply the choke factor of both games. That's what makes it unbelievable. It's not just that New York went in and won the games, which is still a shocker to a lot of people. Not many folks had New York winning the first two games in Boston. It's the fact that in both games, they trailed by double digits. That New York scored 13 points in the first quarter yesterday. 13! So you can't, I mean, immediately out of the gate, I remember saying on the show yesterday, because I gambled the Celtics minus the 10.5 or whatever the line was, there'll be a response. They're going to bounce back. They're the, you know, they're not going to miss 87 three-pointers again. Boston will be okay and probably win this game. And for 75% of the game, I thought, yep, it's going kind of how I thought it would go. They weren't killing New York, but they were up by double digits essentially the entire game. And then out of nowhere, it's this huge surge at the end once again for New York. They trailed by 20-plus in game one. They trailed by double digits for the majority of game two. And yet they find a way to lead the series 2-0. That, to me, is what is most shocking about all of it.
So I'm looking at this right now. Yeah, okay, I had this right. So at the 8:40 mark, Peyton Pritchard hit a three-pointer.
8:40 of the fourth quarter.
8:40 of the fourth quarter, Peyton Pritchard hits a three-pointer. And that gives them an 84-68 lead.
Yeah.
At that point, I remember seeing that three going.
Game's over.
Feels like Peyton's got it a little bit. Here we go. They're going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
They didn't score a field goal.
Nope.
Until 18.1 seconds left in the game.
And what, 8 minutes? I mean, they just couldn't do anything.
To have that long of a stretch?
Yeah.
Like, you give credit. I give all the credit to the Knicks. That's also insane.
It's like a 23-4 run to close out the game or whatever it was.
I was watching this in my garage working out, and I'm just like enjoying every second. I'm texting people because I am just, I don't know what it is. I really can't pinpoint it. I'm not a Tatum guy at all.
Nope.
I never have been. I mean, I liked him coming into the draft and like, hey, if Portland could get a Jason Tatum,
sure.
But we wanted a Nurkic.
Yeah. We wanted the 8 seed instead.
But, like, there's just something about him where I know he's a really good player, and he just gets elevated at a higher level than I think he is.
Because he plays for the Boston Celtics.
I think that's a big part of it, and I'm just enjoying this. I'm loving every second of watching this Knicks team for the second straight game come back from 20 points.
It's, I mean, just wild that it can happen in back-to-back games, let alone once in a series. New York just winning is wild, but to have double, like 20-point leads in both of the games.
In the third quarter.
They should be up 2-0 in this series, and it should be over. The funny part is, in Vegas, I believe Boston is still a minus 120 favorite to win the series.
Yes.
So if you want to go gamble on the Knicks, who only have to win two of the next six, that's not a bad, or two of the next five, I guess. That's not bad value right there.
Well, but like, I don't know what to make of it. Windhorst, I thought, said it really well, and he's literally doing it on TV, but I heard him say it on his post game. It's hard to comprehend what's happening here because you're watching Boston build these big leads. They dominated them in the regular season. And then there's something about a mid-third quarter point, their brains break, yeah, and they forget how to hit a shot.
Yeah.
I didn't even think all their three shots were bad attempts and looks. They were open. And
they didn't take as much. What did they take in game one? 60 of them or 65?
There were 60.
They took 40 last night.
They cut it down.
They limited their looks.
But their percentages weren't much better. They have in two games the worst three-point shot making
so bad
in league history.
It's
the worst ever we've seen. And they keep chucking them. And here was Joe Mazzulla. He was asked about it at the end of the game. He was asked about Jason Tatum, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think game one wasn't inefficient as I thought. He just missed some really good looks. I thought today he passed up some ones that he was able to take. And so, you know, their switchability, their ability to impact shifts definitely impacted him tonight. So, yeah, I thought he missed some easy layups in the beginning of the game. I thought he missed a couple there in the third quarter, but yeah, I mean, they do a good OG Anunoby is a good individual defender, and they have good shifts and help behind.
They didn't get to where they got by panicking and overreacting. But I gotta ask you, don't you change something? Because Porzingis is dealing with this flu illness thing that he's been having, so he's not really playing. Brown had 17 first half points yesterday, didn't do a whole lot after that.
Nope.
Tatum, he had that dunk that he broke away past Mitchell Robinson. Other than that, he's been pretty god-awful in the fourth quarter of these games.
Been horrible.
I mean, Mazzulla's not going to change because I heard his post-game, and he's basically like, we got open looks, we just got to make our shots. See what we could do better. Don't you make a correction? Do you do anything different here? You are down 2-0. You've blown home court, And now you're going to go to the most rowdy Madison Square Garden's been probably since 99.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be wild for Game 3 and Game 4, considering who they're playing and the situation that they're in. It's a really hard question to answer because on the one hand, you would want to sit back and say, who won the championship last year? We did. Who won 61 games this year and was one of the best teams in the NBA essentially all season?
Yep.
We were. Who relied on and lived off of making three-pointers all season? We did. And so there's an aspect of now because you've had two bad games, you don't want to over course correct and say, no, like this is who we've been all year. We just have had a couple of off nights. I do think it just simply is highlighted, though, like in the modern NBA, when you don't have a dominant Steph Curry-like three-point shooter, these kind of swoons can happen from time to time. And when you live and die by one thing offensively, it can at times come back and bite you. And this was the case, I mean, famously with Houston when they got to the conference finals and should have beaten the Warriors, and they got to a game seven. They were a team that made a lot of threes throughout the course of the season. They lived off of making threes in the playoffs. What happened in the biggest game of the year? They had an off shooting night. And if you don't have a counterpunch, that to me is what's scary. Like, I know in my hip pocket, at some point in this series is going to come a game when Boston breaks out of the slump. They go crazy from three, and they kick the living S out of the Knicks.
They got to be doing one of those
games, right?
It's going to
happen at some point.
Yes.
But the question is, now that you've blown two games already,
you got to win four last
should not have, that you shouldn't have lost,
yeah.
Now you're going forward and saying, if we have a big, you know, we're facing elimination in game six, or it's a game seven, and we have a night like this.
You're cooked.
Do we have a counterpunch to pivot to?
Yes.
And if not, then you're going to be screwed because that's what we've seen from teams in the past in the NBA when you're so reliant on stuff. We see this all the time in baseball. There's teams, this was the Dodgers for a long time, to be honest. They would hit so many home runs in the regular season, and that was their overall philosophy. They didn't play small ball. They didn't move runners. They didn't steal bases. You get to the playoffs, and all of a sudden you have a series where you're not hitting a bunch of home runs. How the hell else are you going to score a run? Can you manufacture one? And that's what the Celtics are facing right now. They're going to kill him in one of these games, I guarantee it, in New York.
Mm.
I'd be willing to bet a lot of money on that.
Ah, Colin Cowherd, huh?
Enjoy it,
Knicks fans. It's the only game you're going to win.
And that didn't age well. And Paul Pierce said if the Celtics lose tonight, he said this yesterday, I'll walk, you know, 8 miles to the studio to do the show. So
barefoot.
We'll see
in
if
a robe.
His fat ass is walking barefoot to the studio to go do a show with some strippers around him. But, like, they're going to get one in New York, but it's just you don't have a counterpunch, and that's going to screw you maybe in the long run.
Something to think about as we go to break. But, like, what if they don't?
It'd be great. I love it.
Because we're two games in, and I
gambled on the Celtics last
it.
Night, and I laughed at losing money. I was so happy.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
Same.
I don't care. I said, my little balls bet, it doesn't bother me in the least. Seeing the Celtics lose in the second round and the Knicks be back in the conference finals would be great. And credit to New York and all their role players. Like, it's been different guys. OG Anunoby, I thought, was really good in game one. He didn't do a ton in game two. Bridges didn't do squat, essentially, for three quarters and then has a massive fourth quarter. You know Brunson's going to be solid. You mentioned Hart in the defense he's
playing.
How
about Mitchell Robinson
last night? Mitchell Robinson, even though he airballed a free throw, he was great. Like, they've had little role players step up and play kind of above their punching weight, and that's what it takes to pull off an upset.
A little bit more on this and the wildness of the playoffs next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
No, they're not going to use the timeout. Plenty of time here. It's Tatum. Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering. Oh, the ball knocked away. Another great defensive play for the Knicks. They've got it. They've won it. New York has gone up two games to none. And defense again at the end.
Kevin Arland, TNT on the call. As Jason Tatum is shooting 28% from the field in this series, 25 from three.
Hold stars accountable.
Thank you. That's what we will be doing today. And I know Jaylen Brown is also their other star. He was not very good in game one. And he had a good first half yesterday, but was nowhere to be seen in the second half of that game.
Nope.
And there was already a story coming out before the playoffs started that this was going to be it for this roster, that major changes, there was going to be a different approach here.
But you're going to have a new ownership situation and their luxury tax bill. Ooh, buddy.
I was texting a friend that we both hate the Celtics and Tatum, and we were texting about how much we enjoy it. And I said, yeah, the worst part about this, though, is they're going to get eliminated by the Knicks in a shocking development. and they're going to trade Jason Tatum, Peyton Pritchard, three firsts, three seconds, and get Giannis.
It's the Celtics. They're going to go nowhere. You cannot kill them.
No.
It doesn't matter what iteration or what – they will be back. They will be fine.
Remember the 90s? How great was the 90s?
God, the 90s were good. The 90s were a glorious
time. They were nowhere to be found.
They were irrelevant my entire childhood. Yeah, they were. I knew nothing about the Celtics.
God, I don't know what it is.
Antoine Walker was all they had.
I rooted for Ray Allen and KG to get a ring in the first year of that big three.
I always hated Paul Pierce.
See, I kind of liked Paul Pierce. P-double?
The truth.
The truth?
I couldn't stand him.
The pride of Kansas? He got stabbed after his rookie season.
He did get stabbed after his rookie season. He also pooped his pants in a finals game and then, pretended he was injured and then got wheelchaired off the floor and then came running back out like he was a hero.
Yeah. That Thunder game sucked.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny.
We finally had a bad one.
We finally had a dud. I thought one of these games would be a blowout last night. I just picked the wrong one. And Denver, buddy, I honestly did not watch a second of that game. I was putting Teddy down.
You watched a second of it?
I mean, we were doing bedtime stuff. It's like, and I looked at my phone right after he went down, and I'm getting ready, cleaning the last bottles of the day. Looked at my phone to see what the score is early in this, or mid-second quarter maybe, and they were already down by like 25 points.
They had 80s before the half.
Yeah, and then I checked again after I hop in the shower, and at that point, it was like 82-47, and I'm not turning that game on.
That was the Thunder I thought would be there in game one.
They showed up in game two.
They did show up in game two. I don't know what game three will be because I'm done giving predictions, but
Nugs did that in game three against LA. Remember, they went to the Clippers and just got boat race and weren't competitive, and Jokic was yelling at everybody, and then we thought the series was over, and they bounced back and won game four. So they did what they needed to do. That was an alarming, that was just a complete no-show by Denver.
It makes me kind of wonder about tonight.
And what's going to happen tonight?
Yeah. I think people really do believe, and I maybe I'll be wrong on this, there's people that really believe the Warriors can hang in this series, if not be up by the time Steph gets back, if he can come back.
I'm not complaining about the 5:30 start time. Why do we only have one game tonight?
Well, the Cavs Pacers started
first. Started early.
So they started
that
a day before
Sunday.
Everybody else.
So they got to give them an extra day.
And they travel. It's a 2-day travel window.
No, they just want to catch up so that they finish on an even.
Oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
I got bigger.
I just saw the schedule and I was like, there's only one game.
Because if the Pacers, if they played tonight, if the Pacers swept on Friday and the other series goes, they'd be sitting around for a week and a half.
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's just weird when you're used to having 2-2, the doubleheader in each sport with the dual box going, and then you only get one. You're like, this kind of throws me off. Look, shoot or shoot, I was 0-4 last night. I'm hammering Minnesota tonight.
Hammering. Oh, I am too.
I mean, it's 10.5. Steph's not playing. He's out for a week.
They need Buddy Hield to have a 30 burger.
There's no way Minnesota plays as bad as they did in game one.
And I don't think Draymond's hitting four first half threes.
Zero chance. And they don't. No, it's just not going to happen.
Stop saying zero.
Zero chance. Not going to mark it down. It's going
to
happen.
Well, defensively, if you know you don't have to chase Steph around all the. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Pajemski. Brandon with an I. What are we doing?
It has a potential to. Do what the Thunder did last night.
As a fellow Brandon, I could actually make a claim that he is spelling it how it should be spelled.
Brandon
with an I.
Brandon.
Yeah. It's the hooked on phonics spelling of it. You say Brandon.
Yeah, you're saying Brandon.
Brandon. Yeah.
Not Brandon.
It's a valid point, valid argument. I'm still hammering the T-Wolves tonight. Look, New York winning again shocked me. So that was a pretty big surprise.
Home court has not mattered.
This one would be maybe the most shocking of all the games in the playoffs so far to me.
Well, okay, let me ask you why.
With no Steph Curry at home, they played like dog ass in game one. This one would be the most surprising.
And
if
you
Golden
knew
State
Steph
wins
wasn't
again,
playing.
Why is this? Hold on. Why? Okay, look, I don't believe that they... I don't even know if Steph's going to come back. The hamstring thing is something that
he's out
will
for at
linger.
Least a week. We have no clue. Yeah,
right. And so we don't know if this is going to linger, and then maybe he gives it a go and he can't really move. For a guy that has to move. That is a devastating injury.
Yes.
So if we're to say he's out until at least game 5 or 6, I tend to lean Minnesota will be up, if not in the series. But I also am leaving enough space and that door open to say anything can happen. I cannot explain half of what I've seen in the playoffs so far.
Sure.
I don't know why you're dismissing it. You watched twice in like a 3 or 4 year span. Jimmy Butler carry lesser talent in Miami to the finals.
Yeah.
And you don't think he can do that again?
I don't think he can do it again. No, I don't.
Why? They've been nothing but like the complete opposite of what they were all year when they got him.
Sure. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. And that's why I didn't think this was going to be a short series. I didn't go in saying Minnesota's going to sweep them. They don't have Steph Curry.
Their defensive numbers are better without Steph, and I think their record is above 500 without Steph.
That's fine. Who are they leaning on offensively when they
Jimmy
need
Butler.
It the most?
Okay. Jimmy Buckets.
Okay. Let's see how it works out for you tonight.
Well, I'm not saying the Knicks winning is right. I'm surprised you think this, given what we've seen Jimmy Butler do. In the playoffs.
I mean, that's great. He did it twice in the playoffs. Once was in the bubble. Once was against the choking Boston Celtics, who somehow went down 3-0 in that series and then nearly came back and won four consecutive games against an 8 seed. He beat a Giannis-less Milwaukee Bucks team in the first round. If Giannis is healthy, he doesn't get out of the first round of the playoffs that year. Jimmy Butler is a hell of a player. Steph Curry is the best player on that team, and it's not even a debate.
He admits it.
The Knicks are not doing this without Jalen Brunson. They still have Jalen Brunson, and I'm not comparing Jalen Brunson to Steph Curry, but he's their star. He's a great player in the fourth quarter. There's a difference of doing this on the road when you have a hungry team off of a game one loss without the best player on your team. This would be by far the most surprising outcome of the NBA playoffs to me.
If
Golden State wins tonight. Not even close.
Indiana going up 2-0 at Cleveland isn't
It's shocking.
Surprising?
They didn't have three of their starters in game two.
Yeah. Well, two starters.
Two starters.
Yes.
Three key players in game two.
They also blew a 20-point lead.
They also blew it. They were also up by 20 points and blew it.
20 points.
Like, I'm not saying I saw a lot of this stuff coming. It's obviously been a huge surprise. No Steph Curry winning in Golden State or winning in Minnesota tonight would be shocking.
I just in sports, when we see this, I'm just a little surprised Jimmy's not one of the players for you that like says, I think Minnesota wins, but I go higher percentage chance Golden State can do it because I've seen that dude be all time.
I'm not saying that Minnesota's going to rattle off four in a row.
I think
Golden State can win a game easily at home. But when you get your role players playing better with the home cooking, Jimmy Butler has one of these games maybe where he carries them offensively. I just don't think it's going to be tonight.
I also, for the same Tatum stuff, I like Anthony Edwards. Massive.
It's a big game for him.
Massive game, dude.
And
you
I expect better at him.
All that stuff and have that same like performance.
Yep.
This is something where I dabble with betting his overs.
I absolutely would, too. I feel like he has basically followed up for the most part in his career. When he's had a bad game, he's found a way to have a good game in the follow-up.
Same.
He was terrible in game one for them.
Agreed.
With a lot of hollow stats, and I think he has a big night tonight.
Let's break up the NBA playoff chatter. Let's go to the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers made a trade. George Pickens is no longer a Steeler, but they signed DK Metcalf after trading for him. And we don't know what their quarterback is. What's happening in Pittsburgh? Jerry Dulac will join us coming up next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and their newest location on the south end of Lincoln City, overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's talk some Pittsburgh Steelers football because they've been in the news lately. What are they going to do? A quarterback, wide receiver on the move, and they drafted an Oregon Duck in the first round.
Yeah, they did.
Joining us now, friend of the program, Jerry Dulac, who has covered the Steelers for a long time, Steelers Radio Network host. Jerry, good morning to you. The reaction to the George Pickens trade feels like everybody saw that coming, or it felt like a divorce was going to happen. Then you find out it's Dallas and what you're getting in return. How's everybody reacting out there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of split. There was no question the Steelers were never going to give Pickens a second contract. So in one form or another, he was going to be gone after this season. But they didn't even get that far. The people who are against it are the ones who thought the Steelers would have maybe a double-barreled offense with those two wide receivers after getting DK Metcalf. And now all of a sudden, that wide receiver core looks pretty daunting with two big play guys. But now, you know, and so now their point is, and I get it, and I don't necessarily disagree, is that, you know, they're kind of back to where they started with one good, big wide receiver and a bunch of fill-ins at this point. So that's the negative reaction. And again, I get it. That's why I thought they might just go into the season, start that way, trade deadlines the first week in November, find a team that maybe a contender that lost a key wide receiver, somebody who's desperate. That's how the Steelers got a second-round pick for Chase Claypool a couple years ago during the season. And so maybe George Pickens' market value goes up at that point. But I will tell you, fellas, that the Steelers had grown wary and continued to grow wary of his antics, both on the field and off. And by off the field, just repeated team violations and fines, missed meetings, late to games, late to meetings. And that was just enough for them. And when they acquired DK Metcalf, that was basically the final nail in the coffin. It was just a question of when. And so, the timing surprised some people, but in totality, not too many, because they knew it was a foregone conclusion.
Well, I think the next obvious question is going to be there, Jerry. Like, who's now going to throw DK Metcalf the ball? And I don't know. Maybe you guys in Pittsburgh are just assuming Rodgers will join at the right time. But if it's not Aaron Rodgers, or do you think it's Aaron Rodgers, or is it Will Howard? Like, I don't know what to make of the quarterback thing. And I the Steelers are one of the class organizations. I just, as an observer and football fan from out here, I find it odd that their lack of interest, or I guess lack of like taking that position more serious post Big Ben, it's fascinating to me. It's the most important position in the sport, and it's just like, we can do Mason Rudolph, no problem, but that's only going to get you so far. What's your best guess at quarterback?
Yeah, well, first, Will Howard doesn't factor in there at all. They didn't bring in a sixth-round draft pick to contend for the quarterback position. Mason Rudolph is the backup, and the Steelers do consider that not only the most important position in football, but in professional sports, and it's why they carry three quarterbacks all the time. It's why they always carry two quarterbacks with starting experience. They firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. Look, they're not stupid. They're not sitting there hoping he's going to come, thinking, well, what if he doesn't? I mean, look, that's always a possibility, especially with Aaron Rodgers. But they believe he will be their starting quarterback, and he has told them from the beginning he's going to take his time. There's no urgency for him to be here now. A mini camp is not for two more weekends. So they're not too worried about that, but they believe he will be the guy. Now, after this year, that's enough of the revolving door. Aaron Rodgers will be the fifth different starting quarterback for a season opener in the past 5 years. That's Cleveland Browns stuff, not Steelers stuff. And they intend to put that to rest after this season when they go after a quarterback in the draft.
Interesting. We're talking with Jerry Dulac, covering the Steelers for a long time for the Steelers Radio Network, at Jerry Dulac on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Local connection for us out here. It seemed like there was a lot of smoke that the Pittsburgh Steelers loved Derek Harmon, defensive tackle from Oregon, leading into the draft. They end up taking him in the first round. A heartbreaking story about his mom and what she was going through in the moment, and just how that must have been very overwhelming for him. What's been the reaction in Pittsburgh to the drafting of an Oregon Duck in the first round?
Well, first and foremost, they needed to address their defensive line. They've actually had to the last couple years. And not doing that with a top pick in a draft, not in the third or fourth round, that doesn't do anything for you. You're kind of rolling the dice that maybe the guy's going to develop. They needed to bring in a big-time tackle, a first-round talent, a potential Pro Bowl player, to eventually replace Cam Hayward. There were three guys they liked: Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, and, of course, Derek Harmon. Of the three, Harmon and Grant were the preferable ones, and it was just going to be a question who was going to be there. The other two were gone, and it's certainly not like they're disappointed like they got the last of the three. They don't look at it that way. They either got the first or second best of those three. So they knew that was going to be a possibility. They were prepared for any one of those three. And Derek Harmon checks a lot of boxes for them, a guy who can stop the run and a guy who can collapse the pocket, which is a lot like what Cam Hayward does. And they are thrilled getting Derek Harmon.
The post-draft is supposed to be a downtime for you to work on the golf game, and then this Pickens trade happens. Like, what does this do to the handicap once you're having to cover this?
Well, it's not only that. It's the U.S. Open coming to Oakmont in June. And yeah. So yesterday I was going to Oakmont to do some videos, tape some videos. I was up there the day before actually playing in their media day. And so then, I get a text at 7 in the morning about Pickens, and then there goes my morning. So, that's the way it goes. When you said the Steelers have been in the news recently, it seems like they're always in the news. It never seems to slow down with them.
Yeah, it's the beauty of the NFL. Or if you're covering it and trying to play a U.S. Open course, maybe the tough part of your day. But Jerry Dulac, he's been covering the Steelers for a long time for the Steelers Radio Network, at Jerry Dulac on Twitter. We appreciate the time, as always, out here in Portland, man. Hit him straight next time you play, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
All right, fellas. Good chatting with you.
There you go. Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh talking some Steelers football.
I have Jerry, because he's been covering, as you mentioned, for a while. I have Jerry as the guy that's in the press box. Oh, there used to be an off season.
Yes. Used to have a break. Used to have my summers available.
Around at Oakmont, interrupted by George Pickens. I'm ready to play. Pissed. I'd root against him the rest of my career.
You see, like, can't you get a junior staffer to?
Yeah, is there some other field reporter that can cover
this
thing?
AP wire report.
I give him. He's been covering a long time, dude, but. The nonchalant nature in which he was like, Rodgers is that.
Rodgers is that.
And what
guy.
If he just weirdly decides to retire and doesn't want to have the victory lap retirement tour?
That's the hard part with dealing with Aaron Rodgers. You're never quite sure what he's going to do.
And, you know, he's not wrong. They have had, over the last couple of years, multiple starters that have experience. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like it to the level in which, oh, yeah, they understand. I've watched what they've been doing. It doesn't feel like they really thought Russell Wilson and Justin Fields was going to win that division and take them to the Super Bowl and all that.
It didn't make sense at the time. And the other part of it is you can say, well, this is the offseason. They're going to take it seriously because they're tired of this one-and-done quarterback model that they got going on for the last 5 years, essentially. If Aaron Rodgers does play, look, there's not a lot left there. I don't necessarily view them as a Super Bowl contender. But are we forgetting that they're the Steelers and they go above 500 every year? And I would be willing to say that Aaron Rodgers, at this point of his career, is probably better than any starter they've had over the last 4 years.
He wasn't better than Zach Wilson.
Who, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
The numbers or what?
Record-wise.
Record-wise, sure. But I also think team circumstances. I'm just saying, with Pittsburgh, would you take Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph to be your starting quarterback next year?
I'm not excited about either.
That's not what I'm asking. Which one would you rather have?
I wouldn't care.
Sure. I'm just saying, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be an above 500 team again if he's their quarterback. And how are you going to get your quarterback of the future? That's the point. So you can say that you're done with the one-and-done quarterback thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be drafting in the 20s again or the late teens again. Are you going to trade up? Are you
going to
wait
for a guy to
fall?
To be okay there?
Might be. How many guys are coming out next year in the draft? We have no clue.
It depends on Arch, I think. But if Arch is not there, you're probably looking at, what, five guys?
I mean, it's a deep class.
Maybe six.
But some guys could come back. Some guys could take NIL money. Some guys could not have good years this year and decide they need another year in college. Like, nothing is ever a guarantee a year out. So that's a difficult part of it. You can say that next year you figure it out. But maybe it's Will Howard in camp, and he shows you enough that you think maybe he can become a starting quarterback next year. The Rodgers thing might work for you in terms of getting you to the playoffs for a year, but it's not a long-term solution at that position, and that's what they're desperate for. That was the Daily Ticker, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of the four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest location on the south end of Lincoln City, overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Lots still to get to. I got some baseball notes I want to dive into.
Really?
Coming up in a bit, including one fun fact, and are we paying attention to this? Let's dive into that next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. I don't know how close to you guys. This time of year is always tough because you got stuff going on every night. If you watch hockey, you watch basketball. It's just constant, just shoved down your throat. Playoffs every night, doubleheader, doubleheader, doubleheader. So there's not a lot of time for other stuff. How closely are we following what's going on in Major League Baseball right now? Outside of our own team, because I know we're all following our own team.
Well, I put one of these in the Magic Hat today. Bird's the word.
Bird's the word.
And to bring that back and not use it next week, because who knows where everything will be. I have not watched them. Again, to your point, I largely watch my own team, and that's about it. I know the Mariners are hot.
They are hot.
They won 9 straight series for the first time since 01 after beating the A's coming back yesterday.
They won again yesterday.
Can anybody tell me why the Baltimore Orioles are one game better than the Pirates?
No.
Their pitching staff has been decimated by some injuries. And
their run differential is minus 66.
Yes.
I mean, it's just awful. They've just been getting drubbed.
I mean, they've had some epic drubbing. What, 24?
Somebody beat him 25-1 the other day.
Somebody had 14 on him. Maybe the Yankees or somebody, but I saw that they were down 14.
They lost 15-3 to the Yankees last week at home. They lost 24-2 to the Reds.
Yep.
So in terms of your run differential of 15-3 and a 24-2.
30 runs in two games.
Well, on the verge of getting swept by the Twinkies.
I mean, it's just not good. Yeah.
Twinkies aren't even having a good year.
Yeah, that's been one of the bigger shockers, I think, at this point in the season, is how bad Baltimore's been.
Rutschman's batting .212, by the way.
I mean, it was a year that they lost their number one guy in free agency, and so they didn't really replace him in terms of rotational depth, and then you get the injuries to pile on top of it. It's been ugly. The Mariners have been a great story in baseball, as much as I make fun of them. They're red hot and rolling, as you will, and so they're playing good ball. I saw a random fact that this was kind of wild. So have you guys watched the Cubs at all this year? Seen any Cubby games?
Yeah, I've seen some highlights. I know they're having a good year.
They had their way with the Doyers.
Yeah, so they're having a pretty good year.
Wrigley.
The Giants just played the Cubs, so this is how I'm now, I'm like, hey, this is the first time I'm seeing the Cubs this year. That's how I learn about other Major League Baseball teams. Pete Crow Armstrong is having himself a nice little year.
PCA. As he's referred to.
He's one of their young players kind of coming into his own. Just bananas bonkers. And I saw this initially, and I'm like, there's no way that's true. And it actually is true. So hopefully Newsbreaker Dirt's not wrong on this one. The mom from Little Big League, you're not going to get this reference at all. Mom from Little Big League.
Yes.
Who, you've seen Little Big League? Reference.
I know the story of which you speak.
Oh, okay.
I have not seen the movie, of the movie, and I understand.
I mean, it's a big deal. For my child, I love that movie.
It's an underrated classic from our childhood.
His grandfather dies.
It's the dream of every child.
He's the owner of the Twins.
Right. He makes himself the manager.
Yeah, I'm the owner and the manager. He just makes himself. Ken Griffey Jr.'s in it. All sorts of big leaguers are in it.
And then his star hitter just starts, sleeping with his mom.
Porking his mom. Well, his mom in the movie, her name is Ashley Crow, is the mom of Pete Crow Armstrong.
How about
her son grew up to become a Major League Baseball player. And I saw that yesterday as I'm scrolling, and I'm like, there's no way that's true.
I used to have a crush on that mom, but I don't quite remember what she looked like.
She kind of had the typical 90s curly hair. She was a hot for the 90s.
Yeah,
she was a hot mom in the early 90s.
Right.
I think that's fair. That's applicable.
Ashley Crow.
Dude, totally underrated movie from back in our childhood days.
Why the hyphenation?
I don't know.
Crow Armstrong, is that
maybe
they divorced?
Could be a divorce situation. Hmm. Could be a...
Well, she was in Hollywood.
She's in Hollywood, didn't take the last name, but the dad's last name was Armstrong, so it's a both thing for the kid. She didn't want to change her last name.
But if
you
were a child, would you... I mean, unless it was your family name, would you want to hyphenate your name?
As a child, you don't have much of a choice, really.
Yeah, your parents just give it to you.
You can go in there and be like, I'm Pete Armstrong.
I'm Pete Armstrong. There was an internet rumor that he was a love child of Lance Armstrong and Sheryl Crow. That was trending for a while.
Well, that's clearly not true.
But it's clearly not true because Ashley Crow is the mom of Pete Crow Armstrong.
My mom used to have a hyphenated last name, and I thought it was so bizarre because they were both last names of her ex-husbands.
Yeah, that's a little weird. It's a little strange. And just kept both of them?
Just every time she'd sign a check.
Always had the hyphenated last name.
Dude, our Sprague's long enough.
Yeah, just...
Now you're adding another name to that?
Go back to what you know here,
The line on that check is short.
We're running out of space.
What are you doing, lady?
We're running out of space, Mom. We're running out of space. So that was a random fact that I wanted to give you about baseball, because that kind of blew me away.
The Mets are awesome.
Mets are awesome.
Padres are a contender in that division. Your Giants are having a great run.
They're having a good year.
That's kind of about, I know the Rangers are in a real slump
I'm going to ask you, I got a carryover question for this. I wanted to throw a curveball at people. I want to talk a little baseball today, okay?
It is May. Stunned.
It's sunny outside.
Trying to get us to chase something in the dirt.
Nuggets got killed last night, so there's not a lot from that game. I think we ripped all the meat off the bone of the Boston Celtics and their collapse last night.
Did we celebrate New York enough?
I don't know if we did, but we can get to that a little bit more in the final hour. I'm going to get to something. I'm wondering.
Stephen A at MSG. Yeah, look out.
God, it's going to be insufferable.
Now I'm going to root for the Celtics.
Are we following this? That's my question to start the final hour. Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships are as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Are you following this? With that back in a little bit, the Knicks taking a 2-0 series lead. What do we expect tonight in Minnesota? Where does the series go from here? It's a loaded final hour. It's a Thursday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.